are they chanting? We're discussing the glories of the holy name. This is one verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Heka Krishna name kare sarva papa nash, premara karana bhakti karena prakash. Simply by chanting one name of Krishna without offenses, all one's sins are destroyed. Sarva papa nash. Eka Krishna name. Thus bhakti, which is the cause of Krishna prem, is manifest. Premara karan bhakti karena prakash. So the holy name manifests bhakti. Bhakti prakash, and the holy name manifests prem. And Krishna's Kaviraj, I can't remember who's speaking here. It's in Adi Leela, chapter 8, verse 26. This is one of these verses from Shastra which we can apply the principles we heard yesterday. Icha, Shraddha, and Niropadi. So we hear the statement of Shastra that if you chant Ekanam, just once, Sarva Papa Nash, all your sins will be destroyed. The first question is, do we believe it? Do we have Shraddha, Vishwas? Vishwas or Shraddha, do we believe that? Because when we read it, because we living in Kali Yuga, we're full of doubts and suspicion. Fear, doubt, and suspicion. These are extremely prominent in the age of Kali. We have so many fears, they say phobias. Fears and phobias. And most of them are baseless. Baseless fears and phobias. I have one friend, and I told her, because she has fears of everything. She's afraid of every kind of thing. I said, you should write a book called Baseless Fears and Phobias. Because there's no basis. Most fears, there's no basis. I mean, there's some basis. The basis is ignorance. Ignorance or lack of awareness of God. These two types. Lack of God consciousness. At any rate, this is a fact that the holy name has so much power. So when we read a verse like this, glorifying the holy name, there are many verses throughout the scriptures. This verse is supposed to increase our faith. Increase our faith in the process of nam bhajan, nam sadhan. And it should also increase our determination to engage in the process of chanting the nam, because it's so powerful. Because we may have tried other processes in a half-baked attempt or partially applied ourselves to the process of Buddhism or the Ashtanga Yoga or meditation or some type of... There's various types of practices available that manipulate the mind and create some kind of peace. And we see that it doesn't really change the heart. It doesn't really purify the heart. But Bhakti Bhajan, Karmani Nirhati Kintucha Bhakti Bhajan. And Brahma Samhita says, Karmani, that's the verse I meant to say yesterday, Karmani Nirdahati. Nirdahati Kintucha Bhakti Bhajan. That Bhakti Bhajan, karma nirdahati, it destroys the karma. Because karma is embedded in a chitta, in form of samskaras, strong samskaras, impressions and tendencies to act in a particular way, which forces us to stay in the material world because it's all mostly material samskaras. So this is one nice verse that everything, we can get everything. We can get purified of all sin. We can increase our bhakti and come to the level of prem. This verse explains, this is from Bhaktivinoda's Gitavali, how the holy name gives everlasting, bestows liberation. This is from Skanda Puran. It's a very famous verse. I haven't learned it myself, but it's certainly worth learning. Many people, when they glorify the holy name, many Gaudi Vaishnavas, they repeat this verse. Madura madura maitan mangalam mangalanam sakala nigama bali satphalam chit sarupam sakridapi parigitam shodaya helaya va brigovara nara matram tarayat krishnanama. The holy name of Krishna is the sweetest of the sweet, and the most auspicious of all auspicious things. It is a self-effulgent and beautiful fruit of the Vedic desire tree, Sakala Nigamavali Satphalam Chitsurupam. O best of the Bhrigus, when the holy name is uttered once, without offense, either attentively or inattentively, it immediately delivers all human beings from the bondage of illusion. So this is Radisham. This is another nice verse. Madhura, 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 metan mangalam, mangalanam. So the holy name is the beautiful fruit of the Vedic desire tree. It's the sweetest of the sweet. And Bhaktivinoda is telling in this verse that the holy name gives everlasting wealth. Aparada shunya hoye loho krishna nam, krishna matta, krishna pita, krishna dhana pran. Being careful to remain free of offenses, just take the holy name of Krishna. Krishna is your mother, your father, and Krishna is the treasure of your life. So this is an interesting concept, that our entire family is in the holy name. That's a fact, actually, because Radha and Krishna are there, and they're the origin of everyone. So to think like that, to actually feel that Krishna, the holy name, Nam Prabhu, is my father, my mother, my wealth, my everything. And it's all I need. All I need is the holy name. When devotees in Russia, they were arrested years ago for chanting Hare Krishna, and they were put in prison and also psychiatric hospitals, and they were tortured in various ways. But they took very firm shelter of the holy name. They were really attached and determined that at this point there's no other shelter. There's nothing but the holy name. And they were given some food, some black bread to eat. Well, usually when you're hungry you want to eat. But they thought, well, better we take this bread and make beads out of it. So they would get bread over several days and just keep collecting the bread and not eating it, until they got sufficient bread to make 109 balls, beads, 108 for the mala and one for Radha and Krishna, the head bead, or Mount Meru, we call the head bead Radha and Krishna. So this way they wouldn't be able to eat for several days because they don't get so much bread every day. So they would get a piece a day or a couple pieces of bread every day. And rather than feeding their body, they said, well, let's first make a mala. So for 1 week, collecting the black bread, then making the mala. Then once they had the mala, then they could feed their soul and also feed their body, because then they could start eating the black bread. So this is the kind of shelter they saw in the holy name, that the holy name is more important than food. Of course, I guess we have to be subjected to such severe suffering before we realize that. Krishna is a father and Krishna is your mother and the treasure of your life. Padyavali, Rupa Goswami, he has several verses about the glories of the holy name. These are verses that Rupa Goswami considers important. Of course, Rupa Goswami is our primary Shiksha Guru. Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoibe Akuti. We should be Akuti, very eager and anxious to read the books and follow the teachings of Rupa Goswami. Padyavali is a very beautiful book. It has everything there, Sambandha Videya Prayojan. Vicheyani Vicharyani Vichintyani Puna Puna Kripanasya Dananiva Twannamani Bhavantuna. O Lord, just as a miser continually collects, counts, and remembers his money, in the same way, let us continually collect, count, and remember your holy names. So we should all be good accountants, CPAs, certified public accountants, or let's say CPJA. certified personal japa accountants. Certified personal japa accountants. CPJA. Keep a good count. So this is a reminder of how nam should be done in accounting way. Sankhya purvaka nama gana natavi. So these two verses explain how the name gives everlasting wealth. And so this is the real wealth. And Madhya Lila chapter 8, Mahaprabhu asked Ramananda Roy, he said, who is a wealthy man? He said, can you tell me who is a dhani? Who is a dhaniwala? Who is a really wealthy person? And he said, a wealthy person is a person who has Krishna Prem, Krishna Prem Dhan. This is someone who's wealthy. So here Rupa Goswami is telling us that we should be like misers. Misers are called kripana. They're so much attached just to the touching their money and seeing it, they don't even spend it. Of course, we don't mind spending our holy name. We distribute it, but we have to collect it first. Continually collect, count, and remember holy names. This is a 3 or 4 verses about the power and benefits of chanting. This is from Brahmanda Puran. Sahasranam nam punyanam trira vritya tu yat phalam eka vritya tu krishnasya namaikam tat prayachati. The punya, or the pious results derived from chanting the 1,000 holy names of Vishnu, Sahasranam punya, which is called, that's a prayer called Vishnu Sahasranam. If you chant 3,000 names of Vishnu, or 3 times that prayer, you can attain the same punya from the repetition of 1 holy name of Krishna. So, this Vishnu Sahasranam, from Brahmanda Puran. I would think that Vishnu worshippers wouldn't appreciate this Puran very much because it seems to belittle their Lord Vishnu, or at least relegate him to an inferior position compared to Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna. It has some tertiary points, because you can use this verse to explain the supremacy of Krishna over Vishnu also. This is from Nandi Puran. I don't know if that was written by, maybe it was spoken by Shiva's bull. Nandi is the Viman of Lord Shiva. The Savatra Sarvakaleshu Yepi Kurvanti Patakam Nama Sankirtanam Kritva Yanti Vishnu Paramparam. Persons who in the past have committed every possible sin in every possible situation, but who now chant the holy name of the Lord, they go to the supreme abode of Lord Vishnu, the Paramparam, Vishnu Paramparam. So this can be also taken in different ways. The Paramparam, the supreme abode of Lord Vishnu, means this is the supreme abode compared to any abode in this material world. But then of all the abodes of Vishnu, there's also a supreme abode. It can also be taken like this, Vishnu Paramparam. Because if you take this Paramparam to mean amongst all the Vishnu abodes, you go to the supreme abode, especially if you're chanting the name. Because here it just says Nam Sankirtan. So it could be Vishnu Nam. But if you're chanting Krishna Nam Sankirtan, then you go to the Paramparam, Vaikuntha Paramparam, or the supreme topmost Vaikuntha planet, which is Krishna Loka, Vrajagokul. So this is obviously indicates the power and benefits of chanting Nam Sankirtan. It's really extensive here. Because we see that the exemplars of this verse are Jagai and Madai. They seem like they were good examples of this verse. Persons who have committed every possible sin and every possible situation. But they're good fortune was they never committed the sin of Vaishnava Aparad, which is probably the greatest sin. It's more heinous than murder. Because murder, you just die, and or when you die, you come back and get murdered. And then you're absolved from that karma of murdering someone. But if you commit Vaishnava Aparad, then you lose. Because you may murder someone and continue carrying on in this world. Someone was telling me in Bombay, some boss or something, he went into the factory and he shot 15 people, killed 8, and 7 survived, all injured, of course. And then they went to court, so they sentenced him to 6 months in jail.
6 months.
So he appealed that. He appealed that and said, that's too much. So now that case is, I think maybe is, I don't know what the result of that was, but you know, you can go and murder 8 people and go to jail for 6 months. And I asked my friends from Bombay, I said, how is it possible? He said, these are poor people. The workers, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's a rich person. Mm-hmm. It's like this. There's no justice in Kali Yuga. And this is India, which has some faint contact with Manu Samhita and faint, distant contact, or let's say no contact. At least there's memories of it. They've heard the book before. At any rate, this is the appalling situation. But this person, what I'm saying is, this person does such a heinous, you know, such an atrocious thing of killing 8 people and injuring 7 others, and he gets free on bail, I suppose, and then he continues to live his life. He's wealthy. He'll enjoy whatever he enjoys, and then he'll die. Then of course he'll have to be murdered. But if someone commits Vaishnava Aparad, the results are much more disastrous, because you can die right away. In 3 days, and 3 weeks, or 3 years, you get the reaction. Was it Gopal Chapul or and Chaitanya Bhagavat? Someone offended Haridas and they got leprosy 3 days later. And then they died. Gopal Chapul or something like that. No, that's somebody else. Gopal Chakravarti or Gopal Chapul? There's two different stories. And this, because that's what the Shastras say, depending on how high the Vaishnava is, but how severe and how soon the reaction is, but it can be 3 days or 3 weeks or maximum 3 years. So we see in this case it was 3 days to the point, because Namacharya is quite a big devotee. And because he challenged him, I think it was Gopal Chakravarti or some Brahmin. He said, you say the glories of the holy name, chanting the holy name gives liberation, and what is this? He said, this is not true, your nose will fall off. I curse you. The Brahmin said like this. Haridas was quiet. And then 3 days later, his nose fell off. He got leprosy. And then he met Lord Chaitanya and he said, oh, please forgive me. And he said, I'll never forgive you. You're Vaishnava Aparadi. He let him go. So immediately, so when you do Vaishnava Aparadi, you suffer in this life. You can't appeal it and bribe your way, pay your way out of the reaction. Because there's one of the most serious crimes in this world is murder. Well, you can just pay your way off and not even suffer in this life. But in Vaishnava, so that's why I'm saying that Vaishnava Aparad is more serious than murder. You can't bribe your way out. You can't pay your way off. So that's why it's so much warned against. This is from Padma Puran, Swarga Kanda, chapter 50, verse 18. Tirtanam chaparam tirtam krishnanam maharshaya tirti kurvanti jagatim grihityam krishnanam ye. So let's talk about krishnanam. All the great saintly persons have described that the best tirtha of all places of pilgrimage is the holy name of Krishna, which purifies the whole universe as soon as the name is chanted by anyone. That's pretty good. Purifies the whole universe. Tirti kurvanti jagatim. Maharshaya. The name is so great, so powerful, that it's a param tirath. Just chanting the holy name creates the topmost, the best of all tirthas, and turns the whole universe into a tirtha. Tirtha kurvanti jagatim. Tirtha is a place of, where you get liberation, where you get purified. So some people, they want to come to the holy dham. They want to come from Russia or Europe or America, come to the holy dham to get purified. But staying here, you can sit in your room in New York and chant 3 lakhs a day and become more purified. Turn your apartment into a tirtha. So powerful. In other words, what it's saying is that everything's in our hand. Everything's on our hand. The means of perfection, the spiritual world, Radha and Krishna, our own sarup, everything is there and on the end of our fingers. And the mala, the holy name of Krishna, is so powerful. But we have to learn so many things about it. This is a very nice verse from Skanda Puran, explaining about the power, the need. Lord Chaitanya says in Shikshasagam, Nam Namakari Bahuda Nija Sarvashakti. Nija Sarvashakti. Sarvashakti means all your power. Nija means your own. So this verse sums it up. Dana vrata tapas tirta shetra dinam chayastitaha shaktiyo deva mahatam sarvapapa harashubha rajasu yashva medanam jnana sadyatma vastunaha akrishya harina sarva stapita shveshu namasu. Lord Hari has collected all the powers to remove sins and bring auspiciousness from charity, vows, austerities, pilgrimages, the demigods, the great saints, the Rajasuya and the Ashwamedha yagyas, and the study of transcendental knowledge, and placed all these powers in his holy names. that's a home run, that one. That's a grand slam. That's really quite a... that says everything. So whatever powers you can attain from giving in charity or performing vows, observing some vows or austerities, whatever power or benefits or punya or blessings you can get from pilgrimage, from worshipping the demigods, from visiting great saints and getting ashirvad and blessings, from performing fabulous sacrifices or yagyas like Rajasuya yagya and Ashwamedha yagya, and by studying of transcendental knowledge, jnana sadyatma vastana, all these powers are in the holy name of Krishna. This is quite extraordinary. I mean, this is, in other words, you hear this, say, wow, really? These three words have all this stuff inside. Hare Krishna and Ram. I can't believe it. How is it possible? You don't have to go anywhere. That's why Prabhupada was, sometimes the devotees in Vrindavan temple, when Prabhupada was here, they would go different, they would just leave the temple. Especially around Mayapur time, they would disappear and go to Mayapur. Then in the summertime, they would disappear. The Vrindavan devotees, and they would go to Haridwar, the Ganga, and also the Badrinath. And they would come back after the summer. And then temple president was a little exasperated because they were what we call fair weather friends. They were migratory bhaktas. They would migrate. When the weather got, fly off in the hot season and fly back in the rainy season. So then this exasperated temple president met with Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, I don't know what to do. Many of the brahmacharis in the temple, they disappear. And they say they're going on yatra, they're going to Badrinath or Kedarnath or Chardham. And they go to Mayapur and they don't No, they just, they don't ask permission. They drop all their service and run away. And so they just go. And Prabhupada said, "Yes, that's very good that they go. They go on pilgrimage. It's very good they want to go on pilgrimage and Tirtha Yatra. But it's not very good that they go without sanction of Guru." And Prabhupada, and during this answer, he quoted this verse three times: "Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chitite Koriya Aikya." He says, "Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, Chitite Aikya." It says, prayer is saying, "I want my chitta, I want my consciousness, my heart, my chitta to be ache, to be one with the Guru Mukha, Guru Mukha." What's it? Guru Mukha Padma Vakya, that his Vakya, Mukhapad, his lotus mouth. Well, what's it? Regular translation: May my consciousness be purified by the words emanating from his lotus mouth. This is the translation. So it means my consciousness should be one. So Prabhupada is saying they're going on yatra. That's nice. But it's not sanctioned by Guru. They're not going with the permission of Guru and the blessings of Guru. Therefore, it's nishphal. There is no fruit of that yatra. Because they're outside the boundaries of the Guru's order. They're acting independently. And independence, this is what it means, impurity. Impurity, when people say, I want to become purified. So then we have to ask the question, what does it mean purified? What is purity and what is impurity? Impurity means to act independently of Krishna and Guru and enjoy the world. Purity means to serve Krishna. It's very simple. That's purity. So when we're not serving Krishna and we're not under the order of Guru and Krishna, then we're in an impure state of life, or our actions are impure, or our thinking is impure. It's very simple. So they were actually in so-called going on a Tirtha Yatra to get purified. They were getting contaminated. They're actually exercising their impurity by acting independent. Independence is why the jiva is here. We're in this material world due to independence, choice. So that independence is an impurity. And when we act dependently on Krishna, when we surrender to Krishna, that's purity. And we depend on Krishna and Guru, that's purity. And when we serve Krishna and Guru, that's purity. And anything different than that is impurity. It's very simple. You understand? So he said that they should go. He said, it's all right to go. And the temple present, because at first he thought that Prabhupada was going to smash them. He said, Prabhupada said, yes, it's very nice. You're going into Tirtha Yatra. And then the friend said, what problem? Is that all? But, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitite Kuriyakya. They're not going with sanction of Guru. So they could have just stayed in the temple and realized that they'll get all the powers of all austerities, pilgrimages, everything is there in the holy name. They don't have to go any Tirtha Yatra. You don't have to go any pilgrimage. I have to go to Mayapur. I have to go to Puri, I have to go here and there, I have to go everywhere. I have to go so many places and see so many places. Oh, what about chanting the holy name? Oh, yeah, that also. But also, actually, what I really want to do is travel. I actually have a samskara for traveling. I have a strong samskara in my chitta for traveling. I've done it before in previous lifetimes. I've done it so much in this lifetime. So in my consciousness, in my chitta, there's a very strong impression and samskara for traveling. When I traveled, I enjoyed. I enjoyed new places, people, events, sights, colors, sounds, so many things. And they're etched, they made a deep impression on me. So that created deep samskara. So when I think about traveling, it awakens. So many vasanas arise from that samskara. I said, oh yes, traveling is nice. Oh, let's go to Mayapur, see new sights. The Ganga, the coconut trees, and the rickshawwalas with their funny horns. Wah, wah, wah. Because our rickshawwalas in Vrindavan don't have any horns. And that makes me laugh. And that's sense gratification for me. I like those horns. and it's in my chitta. I can remember them now. I miss them. So let me go awaken those samskaras. So that's why mostly 99% of what we do is due to our material samskaras. The thing that's actually beneficial, the practice and activity is actually beneficial for the soul and most conducive to purity, purifying ourselves and elevating our consciousness, is just to sit in one place. Hare Krishna. And chant the Maha Mantra. No need to go anywhere. But we're restless. We're passionate. And we're anxious. And we're desirous of material enjoyment. So we can't sit in one place and chant the holy name. We have to go here and go there and see this and see that. And do this and do that. Isn't it? Well, this verse is telling you, this is it. Just eat a little khichdi or a little chapati and sabji and chant Hare Krishna. We're too restless, too passionate. Passionate, restless means passionate. So then we do all these other things. Why, as someone mentioned, we do all these other things so that we can chant the holy name. We study and we read and we do puja. We do puja to purify our senses and develop the personal conception of God in our impersonal hearts. God is a person and he likes to eat, he likes to keep warm, he likes to keep cool. I went to someone's house and there was an air conditioner in everyone's bedroom. There was three kids, there was two bedrooms for the kids and one for the adults. The three bedrooms, they had air conditioning. And the living room, they had air conditioning. And then they took me to the temple room. There was no air conditioning. I said, what about him? Doesn't he get air conditioning? Krishna doesn't, they have Radha and Krishna deities there. Oh, what do you mean? I said, but you're sleeping. But if you need air conditioning, what about Krishna? He's not a person? No, no, he's God. He doesn't need air conditioning. We leave the door open. He can catch some of ours. I said, that's big of you. Usually they don't leave the door open. Well, when I said that, actually, that's what I said. So why don't you get an air conditioner? Then the husband said, well, I can leave the temple door open. Usually we close it at night. I'll just leave it open and it'll catch a little breeze. I said, look, you think that's a good idea? This is it's practical. This is a small room. We don't need an air conditioner for that room. I said, you get a small air conditioner. But they also have small ones. And then I have big ones for a whole factory. So then he said, we can leave the door open and it'll catch a little cold air from our room. We'll leave our room open. It's nearby and we can share. I said, all right, this is a good idea, right? And he said, yes, it's a very good idea. And it's practical. We don't need to buy it. I said, okay, you like that idea? Yeah. Okay, take the air conditioner out of your room, put it in the temple room, and Krishna will share his air conditioner with you, and that'll be Maha air conditioning. It'll be Maha air. And then you can get purified while you're keeping cool, because it's Maha air flowing from the body around Krishna. And then when I said that, he said, okay, I'll buy an air conditioner. Because I was all using his logic. He said, oh, that Krishna can keep cool from my air. I said, okay, fine. You think this is... I said, then just take your air conditioner and put it in his room. And then he realized, wait a minute, this is... So then, every time I would talk to them, I'd say, what about Krishna's air conditioner? I wouldn't ask anything else. Every time they call, I'd say, is that air conditioner? Oh, yeah, we're working on it. And then again they'd call. I said, listen, don't call me until the air conditioner goes in. There's another verse here from Padyavali. De pante duritani moha mahima sammoham alambate satankam nakaranjinim kalayati shri chitra gupta kriti sanandham maruparka sambriti vido veda karot yudyamam vaktam nami Tareshwara bilashite bruma kyamanyat param. O Supreme Personality of Godhead, when someone desires to chant your holy name, sins tremble in fear, the glory of material illusion faints unconscious. Yamaraj's scribe, that means his secretary, Chitragupta, that's his chief secretary, becomes happy and gazes at the chanter's toenails with awe and reverence. And Lord Brahma prepares Madhuparka to worship him. Madhuparka is a mixture of milk and yogurt and honey and some spices that is used to in puja. O Lord, what more can we say than this? So it's here, it's saying, Vaktam namni tarishwar abhilashite. If someone simply desires to chant Krishna's name, of course it's also good to chant. But this is the benefit of just desiring. This is the benefits. We're hearing about the benefits and power of the holy name. How beneficial. If you just desire, only simply desire to chant, so many things happen. Sins start trembling. They don't run away, but they start trembling. Oh, he's thinking about chanting Hare Krishna. Hey, this looks bad for us. We may have to leave his heart. Lust. Yeah, greed. Hey, anger. Hey, envy. This is looking bad. This guy is thinking about chanting Hare Krishna. He read this book and it talks about art of chanting and he's thinking, maybe I should try this chanting. Maybe we might get kicked out of here. And he might chase us out of here. That holy name comes in here, we're finished. And Maya faints. Material illusion is Maya. She faints. Moha Mahima Samoham. She becomes complete. Maha Mahima. This Moha Mahima. The glories of illusion becomes illusion. The Maya. He's thinking about chanting Hare Krishna. I'm going to lose my control of him. He's not going to be one of my loyal servants. He's going to become a servant of Krishna and Radha. He's not going to serve me anymore after so many millions of lifetimes. Oh, I can't bear to miss him. And Maya faints. Then Yamaraj's scribe, who's been Chitragupta, their secretaries, they've been entering all our sins one by one by one. And this whole huge account books of all our sins. And Yamaloka, Yamapuri. And when he drops his pen, he just stares at the toenails of the person who's thinking about chanting. And Lord Brahma, he's thinking about chanting. He starts, get the yogurt, get the honey. starts making Madhuparka to offer puja. You imagine, Brahma, the father, is our father, right? Pitamaha. He's the father of the father of the father of the father of the fathers. So our great-great-grandfather, Big Daddy. Brahma is a Big Daddy. He's a big Mahapapa. He's the Big Daddy. He's the father of all the progenitors and all the Daksha and all these other progenitors, and then they produced all the living entities. But this is from Padma Purana. Dvantrim sadaksharam mantra nama shodashakanvitam rajapam vaishnava unityam radha krishna stalam labet. Any Vaishnava who constantly chants the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, which contains 16 names and 32 syllables, will certainly attain the abode of Radha Krishna in Braja Gokul. This is Padma Puran. Dvantrim sadaksharam mantram namashora shakanvitam prajapan prajap vaishnava nityam Radha Krishna stali labet. Radha Krishna, they're quite clear. It's very nice because this verse is so specific because this Maha Mantra is Radha and Krishna. Sometimes people say the Maha Mantra, it can be thought of that way. Once Prabhupada said like that. And the Ram in Maha Mantra means Ram, Chandra, and Balaram. And one who's a worshiper of Ram or Balaram, they can have this vichara when they chant. But generally, our acharyas and Prabhupada himself refers to the Maha Mantra as being Radharani and Krishna. O Radha, O Hara, O energy of the Lord, please engage me in the service of Krishna. And the Rama and the Ram in Maha Mantra refers to Radharaman. that personality, that Supreme Lord who gives satisfaction and happiness to Radha, or that person who derives satisfaction, Raman. Raman actually means the topmost satisfaction, which comes from conjugal union, Raman. So that's the extent of happiness that can be derived in the combination of Radha and Krishna. That's the transcendental Adiras. It's called the Adiras, the original Ras, Madhurya Ras. They relish that Adiras in their confidential association. So the Maha Mantra means nothing but Radha and Krishna. It's Radha Krishna Yugal Mantra. They're together. So therefore, this verse is very interesting because it's from the ancient Purans, Padma Puran, and specifically it doesn't say Vaikuntha Prapti, Vaikuntha Labhet. It says Radha Krishna Stalam. It's very clear. That's why we chose this verse, to solidify our conception that this mantra that we're chanting, as even tells you which one, is Sadaksharam, Dvantrim Sadaksharam, Namnam Shodashakanvitam. This is the mantra. Some mantras have 18 syllables, some have 24, some have 10, some have 1, whatever. So this is a special mantra. This is the mantram, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra will take us to Radha and Krishna in Braj. Now this verse explains how these few verses explain how the holy name is a source of nectar, Amrit. Everyone is hankering to get some nice taste, some nice experience, some pleasurable experience, some lasting happiness, or some memorable experience that they never forget. And whenever they recall that experience, it creates waves of happiness within their mind or heart. And even when they reminisce about that, when they reminisce or recall that, it opens up or releases some feelings of happiness. And the converse can also be true. If someone had a very disastrous experience or very serious, they hated someone or they did something, and they think of that person, they think, well, that person, and then all these bad feelings come up also. So this holy name is, whenever we chant the holy name, this is a source of nectar. This is from Arundaya Kirtan by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Jivana anitya janaha sar tahina navida viparabar namashraya kori jatane tumi takaha apanaka je krishna nam sura kori apan judao pakati vinoda pranam avinu kichunahi kar choda bhuvana maje. Let's see, sunrise kirtan, basically. This is Pratak Leela. This is Leela Kirtan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote many kirtans that are sung at different times of the day for Astakali Smaran, to remember the pastimes of Gauranga and also Radha and Krishna at different times of the day. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, you should understand this essential fact. Life is temporary and filled with various kinds of misery. Therefore, carefully take shelter of the holy name and remain always engaged in his service as your eternal occupation. Drink the pure nectar of the holy name and thus satisfy the soul of Bhaktivinoda. Except for the holy name, there is nothing within all the 14 worlds. Nam bina kichu nahikar choda bhuvana maje. Over the years when I'm chanting, I often think about this part. Krishna nam sudha. Sudha means nectar. Kuryapan. I didn't really think about that part so much. But what really struck me there's this last line, except for the holy name, there's nothing else in the 14 worlds. This is from Arundhaya Kirtan, Udila Aruna. You see, Nam Bina Kichu Nahikavar, Chota Bhuvana Maje. So many times over the years we're chanting japa, this last line always stuck in my mind. There's nothing within the 14 worlds but except the holy name. That English part, I mean, I don't remember so much in Bengali. Nam Bina Kichu, Kichu Nahikavar, Chota Bhuvana Maje. Chota Bhuvan, Chota means 14. Bhuvan means planetary systems or worlds or what else in the 14 worlds. So this is from Arundhaya Kirtan, Udila Aruna. You see, Nam Bina Kichu Nahikavar, Chota Bhuvana Maje. So many times over the years we're chanting japa, this last line always stuck in my mind. There's nothing within the 14 worlds but except the holy name. That English part, I mean, I don't remember so much in Bengali. Nam Bina Kichu, Kichu Nahikavar, Chota Bhuvana Maje. Chota Bhuvan, Chota means 14. Bhuvan means planetary systems or worlds or what. Bhuvan, Chota. Char plus Das, Chota. So, but this is a very nice line, very good for our faith. There's nothing else. There's actually nothing in the 14 worlds. 14 worlds means there's 7 planets above the Earth planet. Right? Bhur, Bhuva, Swa, Janalok, Maharlok, Tapalok, Satyalok. Right? So that's 7. And there's 7 below. Atala, Talatala, Patala, Rasatala. There's 7 planets below. So we're in the middle. So whether we go up or down, we search the entire world over, as people did in the Middle Ages. Explorers and sailors had this idea, I don't know where, from different shastras or something. They had the idea there's something called the fountain of youth. There's some type of course it's there in Bhagavatam also. When the demons and demigods were fighting, Shukracharya made a swimming pool. And in the swimming pool he put some special Sanjeevani Ras. Sanjeevani means complete life. And when the demons were knocked off, or injured or killed, they would drop them in a swimming pool and they would come back to life with a renewed body. So that's like a fountain of youth, a pool of youth. So they were looking for such a thing. But Bhaktivinoda Thakura says there's nothing to be found if you search the entire universe, all planets above or all the planets below. This is it. This is the nectar. This is the satisfaction. This is the fulfillment. It's here, right here, in these three words. Except the holy name, there's nothing in the 14 worlds. And this is a good sankalpa. This line is a very good sankalpa. It's what we say, resolution, or affirmation, or setting our sights, or reminding us of the goal. Because so many other things may distract us. So many people may distract us, or other ideas, or other pursuits. Do this, do that. And we think, actually, what is it? There's nothing. Family, mother, father, friends, everything. What is it? It's all illusion, basically. It's temporary. Ultimately, it's not that beneficial. This is the most important thing. There's nothing within the 14 worlds except the holy name. We can say it, but if we make a sankalpa, we make a resolution, and we repeat this, and we start to think, yeah, what is there? Then we ask the question. He's saying there's nothing. Then we have to challenge him. No, there is something. There's something in the 14 worlds. There's this and there's that. But he's come to this state of conviction. It's a very strong state of conviction. There's nothing in the 14. That means there's nothing in this whole material universe except the nectar of Krishna's name. Are we that convinced? No. Not that convinced. Oh, well, there's that nectar is there, but there's so many other pots of nectar. And I wanted to sample them. Liquid beauty. Pots of nectar. So I put this verse in here because it always meant something to me. This last line, so I was sharing that with the readers. This is from Vidagdha Madhav, which is a further acceleration or development of the same idea to a point of excessive or most excessive development. Tunde tanda veni ratim vitanute tundavali labdaye karna krodha kadambeni katayate karna budebya spriham cheta prangana sangini vijayate sarvendriyanam kritim na jane janita kiyadbir amrite krishneti varna dvayi. This is that famous verse which everyone's probably has a gist of in English from Rupa Goswami's Vidagdha Madhav. And he's glorifying the holy name, Rupa Goswami. I do not know how much nectar the two syllables Krishna have produced. When the holy name is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth. We then desire many, many mouths. When that name enters the holes of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind, and therefore all the senses become inert. Means they go to sleep, they don't act. So I think everyone has heard this verse over the years, or read it. I think it's also quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the first act of Vidagdha Madhav. It's in the Mangalacharna, verse 15. The auspicious invocatory prayers to begin the work establishing Krishna, because the book is about Madhav Krishna. So this is one of those hope against hopes that we would ever come to that platform of wanting millions of, what does he say, so many, many, many mouths and millions of years. This is from Srinagar Kirtan by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Oh, seeing the miserable condition of the fallen souls of this world, Nittai has personally brought the holy name from the transcendental realm of Braj. Oh, Lord Shiva chants this holy name with his five mouths. This holy name is so sweet. That's Panch Mukh Mahadev. This holy name is so sweet. Oh, Lord Brahma chants the holy name with his four mouths. Chaturmukh Brahma. Oh, Narada Muni chants this holy name while playing on his veena. This holy name is so sweet. Oh, just by the dim reflection of this holy name, the sinful Ajamil went to Vaikuntha. Bhaktivinoda Thakur therefore says, oh, continuously chanting this holy name, go at once to the divine realm of Braj. This holy name is so sweet. So actually there was a song we used to sing in the old days, Kirtan song. Maybe it's from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It seems to follow the line of this. It says, you remember that song? You ever hear that song? It says, Brahma Bole Chaturmukhe Krishna Krishna Hare Hare Panchamukhe Mahadeve Rama Rama, whatever it is, Rama Rama Hari Hari or something like that. You know, it's like this. You heard it sometime?
Yes.
Brahma Bole, it's, I think it, how's it go? Panchamukhe Mahadeve Krishna Krishna Hari Hari Brahma Bole Chaturmukhe Rama Rama Hari, whatever it is, something like this. We sing a lot of bhajans. I mean, it was a kirtan song to remind everyone that we're not the only ones. We seem like everyone says we're crazy. In Los Angeles, there's only 400 people here chanting in the temple. There's 20 million people going to the movies, doing other things. They're in Maya's movie. But remember, everyone remember that Lord Shiva, he's chanting with his five mouths, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And Brahma is chanting with his four mouths, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So we're in good company. We're not alone. So we have some big friends. They're also chanting. This is from Adi Leela, chapter 7, verse 83. Krishnama Mahamantra Eta Subhav Jeja Petara Krishna Upajaye Bhav Upajaye Upajaye Bhav. It is the nature, the Subhav, of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra that anyone who chants it immediately develops his loving ecstatic relationship with Krishna. That sounds good. Krishna Mahamantra Sabhav Jai Jape Tara Krishna Upajaya Bhav. Bhav. It is the nature. This Mahamantra brings one to Bhava Bhakti, gives one Bhav, develops his ecstatic, loving ecstatic relationship with Krishna. Upajaya means it awakens, it rises, it comes. So that's the last verse about the glories of the holy name. And tomorrow we start an interesting chapter. It's called Chapter 3, Nama Parad. So we heard all about the wonderful glories of the holy name and what can be attained, what benefits, and what, you know, all the way up to Bhav and Prem we can attain from the holy name, by the mercy of the holy name. And then we have to find out what's keeping us from all those benefits. What's keeping us, what's clouding over the sun of the holy name, keeping us from perceiving the brilliant rays of the holy name. And generally it's understood to be an anarthas and aparad.